We're back with more of Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tine. Last fall, as the issue of workplace sexual harassment found its way into the middle of campaign season, ESPN contributor Jen Latta shared her own story of inappropriate behavior from a would-be boss as she had tried to break into the sports journalism world years before.
Reaction to the Marquette University graduate's story was overwhelmingly positive, in part because Latta has been almost universally admired for her authenticity. Latta has worked her way up through the business, including time working at Milwaukee's Fox 6, Comcast Sports Net Chicago, and now in a variety of roles at ESPN.
Latta is back in Milwaukee this week to give the annual Axthelm Lecture in Sports Journalism at Marquette Today and joined us in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be back in Milwaukee.
Well, so I guess I want to start by just talking sports in a really general sense. You are exposed to so much of so many sports at a level that most of us really probably are not. I'm curious what you think is most right about sports in 2017.
So just this past weekend, we got to watch the Masters competition, and there's a sect of the population that finds golf completely boring, right? They think that it's only for white middle-aged men or people who are on the verge of retiring, and so they don't really get into it. But what captivated the audience this past weekend was the competition. And I think that's what sports gets right, is we all get that adrenaline rush when we're watching true competition happening organically. It is the most authentic reality show in the world, right? You see all of these TV networks that try to capture the drama and the mystique and all of that that sports has just naturally. And that's what we saw watching the final round of the Masters. You had people who would never be tuning in to a golf event sitting on their couch on the edge of their seats waiting to see what would happen. The other thing I think that sports do really well is it's a unifying nature. Especially in the political climate that we're in right now, it feels like there's so much divisiveness. It feels like people are always looking for something to disagree with other people about. But we were at Miller Park this weekend for the Brewers-Cubs game on Sunday. And I'll tell you what, a lot of Cubs fans, a lot of Brewers fans, but everybody was there because you love baseball. And so it's a reminder that, yes, we have differences. Yes, there are things we disagree with, sometimes vehemently, but there are also things that bring us together, and oftentimes that is sports.
Well, and it's interesting. I'm curious to get your take on this because in right around the election, in fact, I can't even remember whether it was before the election or after the election. There was somebody, I think he was writing in, it was a columnist for The Guardian, and he was saying that sports is the last place, or maybe the last place, where we can all agree on the facts. You know, if the Cubs beat the Brewers, the Cubs beat the Brewers, and it's not subject to interpretation.
Yeah, hashtag alternate facts,
right,
or hashtag
exactly.
Fake news and all of that stuff. They actually did beat them. There is some reality to that. There is an absolute in sports. Probably mathematics is the other place, right, where there's
right.
an absolute, where you're always going to get a definitive answer. But I do agree. I think we're in this climate right now where people are convincing themselves of truths, quote unquote, because they're convenient to themselves and their lives. And I think that there is something about sports that is you walk away from the ballpark and the result was what the result was. Now, I can give you a recent, however, example of when it wasn't. You probably saw the story that caught a lot of traction of the woman and the LPGA tour. A viewer called in or people called in to say that there was a penalty, that there was an infraction, and all of a sudden you're watching on television thinking that she had done something and you find out only later on that she had in fact not. There's always going to be those types of changes, penalties. You typically hope that they come immediately after
right.
the fact and not a day later, but you know, you are even seeing that kind of creep in there. Look, though, there are some sports that are still judgment-based, right? Let's not take anything away from the swimming of the world as far as synchronized swimming or diving, for example, gymnastics.
I have figure skaters in my life.
Figure skaters, so you know people who are subject to the judgment of others, which ends up affecting the result of a competition. But at the end of the day, you're right. In baseball, it's who puts the most runs on the board. In football, it's who puts the most points on the board, and it goes from there. So there is some comfort in knowing, while you may not like the outcome, typically the outcome is at least what actually occurred on the playing field between the lines.
So if that's what's most right about sports, what do you think is most wrong about sports in 2017?
I think it is our emphasis on sports. I think it is still that skewed hierarchy and where sports ranks on that hierarchy. I'm a parent. I have a child who's in school. The value and the impact that a teacher has on a young life and subsequently then an adult later on is undervalued in our society. And unfortunately, we talk about sports people being heroes and people that kids can look up to. And I think we've got that backwards. I think we need to be better about surrounding our kids with not only the group of people at home and making them the role models for kids instead of relying on your favorite first baseman to lead such a pious life and such a charitable life and such an altruistic life that they then can be the superhero or the role model for your kid. The money that's involved in sports is astronomical. And again, for what? For these people being able to excel at athletics. It sends the wrong message. We're seeing kids who are then affected by their parents who put too much pressure on them at a young age and who want them to succeed in sports because they see it as an out. They see it as, man, if my kid gets a scholarship, then I don't have to pay for college. And so I'm going to have you focus exclusively on this one sport for 8 hours a day because I think that that's going to get us closer to that reality.
Is it hard to do justice to that perspective in the position where you are? I was just watching a feature you reported on, Anthony Rizzo of the Cubs, who in a lot of ways, a wonderful story, an inspiring story. He overcame cancer. He got to play for the Cubs when they won their first World Series in 108 years. And at the same time, he comes from a background that, there was a lot of emphasis placed on sports when he was growing up. He got a batting cage when he was, 6 years old?
Right. And so that's something that we as reporters are responsible for, kind of being the gatekeeper. We meet these people and based on our experiences, based on the tenure that we've had in this business around these athletes, make judgment calls on their lives. And that's when we're asking the viewer and the listeners to really trust us. It's saying, okay, I've been around sports long enough. I've seen the good guys. I've seen the a-holes. Like, I know when we've got somebody who seems to be the real deal. Now, that's not to say we haven't been fooled in the past. There are guys who convince us throughout their entire career that they are worthy of those types of features that highlight all the good things they do. And then all of a sudden they show up on the back page, the police blotter page or something, even worse, you could argue. And then you feel like a real schmuck. You feel like they not only fooled you, but then you in turn fooled your viewers and your readers. So there is a lot of responsibility on us as those reporters to be the honest liaison to the group. There are times you get around people and they're not as great as they've been portrayed to be. But that's okay because they're humans. And I think there is value in being able to show the human side of some of these people as well because it makes them more relatable. We're so accustomed to seeing these people on television and them being super far away from an attainable standpoint that when you can show the flaws of people, the mistakes they've made, the adversity that they've overcome, I think it makes people appreciate their struggles and their journeys that much more.
Are you ever concerned about being in the position where you're sort of creating this standard that even he is going to have a hard time living up to over the course of a 10 or 15 or 20 year playing career?
I think, again, it's everything with perspective, right? These aren't deities. We're just trying to make sure that people understand these are humans with extraordinary skill sets, with extraordinary talent that have not only worked their tails off to get there, but have also had a little bit of luck. And I think that's something we all can relate to as well. And so I think that as long as we continue to stress that and as long as we continue to show that, I think we'll be in a good position. I'm not interested in fooling the audience. I'm not interested in taking people for an inauthentic ride. But I do think that it does a disservice to sports to assume that every guy out there is a dirtbag. Because they're not, right? You've got some really good guys in all of the leagues. And yes, we talk about some of the inflammatory characters a lot more, but there are guys who deserve to be highlighted like we highlighted Anthony Rizzo this past month.
You mentioned the kind of divisive place that we're in this country right now. What's your feeling on athletes going political? the flap about whether Tom Brady was or was not supporting Donald Trump's presidential campaign, the flap over Colin Kaepernick over the past year. I mean, is it the place of sports and sports journalists to shine a light on the political leanings of our athletes?
Yeah, I think it's naive to assume that sports are completely separated from the politics and the social issues that we're dealing with on a daily basis. And just like I mentioned a moment ago, you're fooling yourself if you think that these guys are cyborgs or robots or other people who don't have political leanings or who don't have, you know, family situations that are sometimes affected by what's going on in Washington or at your state capitol. So I think that they should be able to say what they feel comfortable saying. There shouldn't be pressure on them to be an advocate for something or another because we want them to be, just like there shouldn't be pressure on them to shut the hell up because we don't like what they have to say. I think, again, realizing that these athletes are human beings who have lives, who have people in their lives, who have causes that they care deeply about, makes them more relatable.
What was it that, or who or what was it that cemented your love for sports growing up?
It was just an environment. It's so funny because having an 8-year-old son, you have that advantage of perspective. Mm-hmm. And it is so freaking hard to get my kid out the door in the yard to just play. You know, he's being handicapped, like a lot of kids these days, by all of the devices that we have and the 350 channels that we have on our television. But when we were kids, we didn't have a choice. You were outside and you were playing and you were making up games and you were creating competition, whether that was who could ride their bike fastest to the end of the street or, you know, who could sink the most free throws in the driveway. And so that's where it came from. It was bred from just being a kid, being outside playing. I've always been naturally competitive. I've always been drawn to that environment, that ring, if you will. And so the ability to be able to recreate that environment on a daily basis, to be in those arenas every single day, is something that I'm super appreciative for.
It was, I think, last fall that you chose to share your story of sexual harassment when you were just breaking into the field. How did you weigh the decision to tell that story when you did?
So when it occurred, I immediately wrote an email to the news director of that station and let him know that one of his employees had been wholly inappropriate with an interviewee just out of college. And the reaction I got was, thank you so much. We'll look into it. And so every few months or so, I would check the company website and see that, sure enough, still employed. So whether they looked into it or not, it didn't have any long-standing repercussions. I think that we're in a place where women, unfortunately, don't always feel safe. They feel more often than not that the onus is on them to protect themselves, as opposed to the onus being on people who would take advantage of their situation to not. So it's important to, when in a position like I'm in, share those stories and say, hey, man, I've been there. I've been on the receiving end of wholly inappropriate behavior by someone that at the time I was trying to impress, and how difficult it is to walk that fine line of, man, I really want this job, but yet I'm not going to compromise my morals or my integrity in order to get the job. I just think it was important to be a voice for those people who've been on the receiving end. And I'm sure you saw the reaction to it was a lot of women have dealt with things similar to that. So this is never to portray myself as a victim and say, oh, look at all of the adversity that I have overcome. No, it's to say this is a reality of this business, probably a reality of other businesses. But if it's happening to you, don't feel like you can't speak out about it, because look at where I am now. It didn't keep me from succeeding.
And at the same time, women in sports are in this strangely, it seems like, exposed place where they're held to a different standard often than the men in sports are. And, you know, I wondered if you worried that by telling this story, you'd be sort of re-exposing yourself in that kind of strange way.
No, I think some of the ways that you're most vulnerable is aging, you know, which is from everything I've learned, a natural right. part of the exactly. The deal. It's kind of what you sign up for, right? I think you look around the sports landscape and you see a lot of men who have been around for a very long time and don't seem to be held to the same aesthetic standard that women are held to. I would argue the longer you're around, the more tenured you are, the better you are. Think of all of the experiences that I can lean on at this stage of my career versus the previous stages of my career. And yet you get to a certain age where you start to feel like you're going to be moved out, moved on from.
Sent to the home for aging female journalists.
Yeah, at 40. Gasp.
Do you feel like, I mean, we're having this conversation and you're about to talk to mainly journalism students at Marquette, your alma mater. Do you feel like you have to be honest with the young women who are potentially going into the profession about, you know, these are the pitfalls that are, you know, that may be wrong, but they are the reality for women in this line of work?
100%. My lecture is about authenticity. You know, it's like authenticity over everything. So for me to be disingenuous in my comments to them would be incredibly hypocritical. I have to tell them what the realities are. That doesn't mean they can't change. I think that something that people have noted is that John Skipper, president of ESPN, has been very adamant about putting women in positions that they wouldn't ordinarily hold, and minorities as well. And so you are seeing a shift. You are seeing people who might not have ordinarily or previously been given certain opportunities being considered for high-profile jobs, and that's fantastic. But I spoke on the phone recently with a young lady who said that she wants to do play-by-play and analysis. And I said, that is incredibly ambitious. And I said, this isn't me to discourage you at all. I'm sure you know how challenging that road is. To sit there and say, you got this, girl, which she very well may have, would be doing her a disservice. It is important for me to say, this is the challenge that you are facing going after a career that has been predominantly held by not only men, but also former athletes. But that doesn't mean she can't do it. It just means be acutely aware of all of the trapdoors and all of the minefields that you are going to have to navigate on your journey.
It is amazing to think, because it's 2017 and we're still hearing stories about so-and-so is the first woman to do play-by-play of, you know, a regular season NFL game, or, you know, it's not like women haven't been in television or radio for very long. They have.
It just takes an executive who's willing to break the mold. It takes somebody who's willing to say, I know it's never been done this way before, but I think it can work. And I also think it takes women like this young lady that I was speaking to the other day who are willing to navigate that minefield, who are willing to say, you know what? Yeah, it's going to be really hard, but I think I can do it. And I've got people in my corner who think I can do it. And there are executives out there that are looking for someone to say, that's what I want to do. And as long as, just like you and I were talking about earlier, the luck works out where they're married at some point, then it will happen. And I do think that we're getting closer to that.
All right. I just have to ask, and I can't see it right now, but on your right hand, your right wrist, you have a bracelet that says laugh. And I'm just wondering if that's something you have to remind yourself to do over the course of a day in sports.
I don't think you have to remind yourself. It is a personal mantra of mine. I think that we take ourselves very, very, very seriously too often. We're so worried about the way that something will be perceived, or, oh, is this going to work in my favor, or is this going to work against me? And, you know, how do I carry myself in this situation? And so I think you can drive yourself mad trying to strategize your way to success. And I think a lot of people do that. And I don't think that they are at fault for doing so. I think that there is some level of strategy that's necessary to succeed. But I feel like I tend to over-strategize. And so what I'm trying to remind myself to do is to kind of back off a little bit. And I think that the most natural human reaction to kind of backing off a little bit and just enjoying yourself is to laugh.
Well, and in the sports world, if you can't laugh and you can't be happy in a genuine way, why would you be in that
Absolutely.
Line of work?
It's really a rewarding career. I know how lucky I am for all of the breaks to have fallen my way. I know that I'm lucky to have gone to Marquette, where I got a quality education that put me in line for some of these opportunities. And I'm lucky to have had a support system around me that has dealt with the rigors and challenges of starting out in this business and making no money and struggling to know if someone's going to hire you beyond the age of 40 and all of those other things. I've had people who have pushed me along the way and said, keep going, keep climbing. And for all of those reasons, I feel so lucky every day to be able to go to work and talk about sports.
Well, Jen Latta, we are lucky to have you in here talking
about
sports.
Oh, that's nice of you to say.
For a few minutes anyway. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Jen Latta is a contributor at ESPN. She's appeared on numerous shows at the network. She also produces content for a SportsCenter series called SC Featured.
Latta, who graduated from Marquette University, will give the school's annual Ex-Thelm Lecture in Sports Journalism later today. You can find a link to her latest feature and more from WUWM.com.
And that wraps up today's edition of the show. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tighe. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I sure hope you'll tune in again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for another edition of Lake Effect right here on listener-supported 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee.
Fresh air comes your way next, so stay tuned. It's 11 o'clock.